The second scripture reading today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 1 through 6, page 961 in your pew Bible or up on the screen. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Amen. You ought to go sit down with your wife. It's your anniversary.
I don't know if she can leave me alone, though.
Oh, boy. I want to share with you something, food for thought. Leaving church one Sunday, a woman said to her husband, "Do you think that Flanagan girl is dyeing her hair?" "I didn't even see her," replied the husband. "And that skirt Mrs. Jones was wearing," continued the wife, "don't tell me you thought that was appropriate attire for a mother of four." "I'm afraid I didn't notice that either," said the husband. "Huh," scoffed the wife, "a lot of good it does bringing you to church." We laugh at that, don't we? Yet, there are times I wonder if that's the kind of attitude we have when we come to church. We're looking at others. We're emphasizing perhaps their shortfalls and their weaknesses and whatever it is that's going on, and we don't come necessarily with the right heart. You know, I want to say something this morning before I start this message, and this is a message that I hope we clearly listen to this morning, because I think these verses have sometimes been butchered and chopped and made to say something they're not saying. And I just want to say, first and foremost, at the beginning, the Holy Bible does not contradict itself. God's Word is God's Word. And I was always advised when I was at seminary by one of the professors, I don't remember anything else he said except this. He says, when you go to God's Word, take the whole counsel of God, and you'll find the answers that you need for life and living and truth and all those kinds of things. This text this morning in the Gospel of Matthew is one that I believe gets misread and misinterpreted at times. And I just wanted to talk about it this morning. This is yet another one of those parables that have been written for us as Jesus Christ was sharing on the mount, and he was talking to his disciples, not just his disciples, but also the crowds that were gathered there. I have a question to ask you. If you saw a person heading off a cliff, would you be judging to tell them they should turn around? We judge our children when we tell them they shouldn't cross the road on a busy roadway. What do we mean when we say we shouldn't judge one another? It's not a real easy text, but I think the answer is right there in the text. We have a habit sometimes as Christians of doing what is called proof texting, using a verse in the Bible to say what we want it to say and never looking at its context to see what it really says. I believe this has been done often with this text. That first verse, do not judge, or you'll be judged. I have heard that over and over and over again in my life, and I want us to look at the whole of this text to see what it is saying to you and to me. You know, who is being addressed here? Primarily, I think Jesus was talking to his disciples. They were the ones that were gathered with him up on the mount, and the crowds were gathering around too. And he was speaking primarily to his disciples, but all the others within earshot of him were listening as well to all these profound things that Jesus was sharing with them. They were listening in on what was going on. Because if you look at the beginning of this text that starts in chapter 5, it says, now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying. Now, at the latter part of this Sermon on the Mount as well, it says when Jesus, and this is at the end of chapter 7, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. He was talking to the disciples, but the crowds were listening in on what he was saying as well. So we look at this text. It starts out, do not judge, or you will be judged. I would say from the get-go, in light of the context of what we are listening to here this morning, that perhaps a better way to say that with our English language would be something more like this. Do not be judgmental, or you'll be judged that way as well. For he goes on in verse 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and lays out what he really means by what is going on here. You see, many judge in a certain way. This is how many people judge. We see other people's faults without addressing our own. We point out the wrong that someone else has, and we aren't even looking at what's going on in our own life. Our motives oftentimes when we address someone else, our motives are impure. You see, if we can put the attention on someone else's faults, it can minimize our own. It makes us feel better to think we're better than someone else is. And so many times that is how we judge, and that I believe clearly in this text, we are being told that is not how we should judge. I believe, and the scriptures indicate, and in this text I believe it says so, there is a right way and a wrong way to address the sins of our brothers and sisters in Christ. First, what we need to do is address our own. Paul, in a text in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, when he is actually addressing a couple people in the church that have really made a mess of things, here's what he says before he addresses that issue. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, he says this, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. A few verses later, he's addressing young Timothy with a couple people in the church, Hymenaeus and Alexander, who have been creating a mess. And he, in essence, is judging them and saying, stay away from those who are shipwrecking the faith. There are other places I could go as well to address the same thing, but I believe what we're finding here in Paul and what we're finding here in Jesus Christ himself is we are, as believers in Jesus Christ, to be accountable to each other. And yet I believe in the Church of Jesus Christ today that we have oftentimes espoused a very weak Christianity, one that says live and let live. I don't think you care much for me if you just want to live and let me live. If I'm doing something I shouldn't be doing in Christ, I would hope that you would love me enough to tell me. But that you do it in a way that is not judgmental, but yet in a way that is loving. When you look at the text here that is being addressed by Jesus himself to the disciples, it starts out with, do not judge. I'm wondering, am I still on? I guess I am. I was thinking Roger was going to shut me off. He probably didn't want to hear what I was going to say. I don't know. Make sure this is loud. No. Jesus is addressing the way we typically do this sort of thing. Do not judge, or you will be judged. For in the same way that you judge other people, you're going to be judged. So if our hearts are not in the right place, if we are doing like I indicated earlier here, my reason why I'm addressing a brother or sister in Christ is because I see a wrong they've done and they're just a poor witness in the church, and I want to go up to them and tell them, look, you need to be doing something different. It's not the way it seems Jesus is asking us to address this. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? You see, you need to come to the situation with some sense of humility, with some sense of self-introspection, like Paul did when he was talking to Timothy. I'm not saying this because I'm better than you. I am saying this because I love you. There's a huge difference, folks. And if you really love me, and if I really love you, and I see that you're about to ready to jump off a cliff, if I love you, I'm going to say, please don't jump off that cliff. You know, I have people oftentimes that come to me in the office with their dirty laundry. I try as best I can, and I know I'm far from perfect, because when they come in, a lot of times they come in with shame. They come in with, I don't really want to tell you what I'm going to tell you, and I'm an awful person, and I've done some awful things, and blah, 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 blah. I have tried in my life to address people the way I see Paul oftentimes addressing people, and the way Jesus Christ, I believe, is addressing people here, and say, first, let's level the playing field. We're all sinners. I'm one. And so whatever it is that you're dealing with in your life, no matter what it is that you're dealing with in your life, I'm dealing with stuff in my own life as well. And so how about if we look at this together? And I'll pray for you. And you pray for me. How about if we let the Church of Jesus Christ in on some of this? And we can pray for each other, and instead of being judgmental, what we're trying to do instead is saying, you know, let's help a sister or a brother who's kind of lost and hurting. You see, I think what Jesus is trying to tell the people here, and that he's addressing especially the disciples, but the crowds too have gathered there, is he's trying to help us to avoid the thing that sets people off. It's off-putting when you and I come across as self-righteous. And there's some in the church that come across as self-righteous. It's the most annoying thing to ever be around. I've been around people like that. It's annoying. When they think they're better than someone else is. Forgive me if I have ever come across that way to any of you, because I'm not. Jesus says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? He's making a point here. How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? That plank may not be as obvious a sin as someone else's, but maybe that plank is at that very moment. It's the pride in your own heart. Thank God I'm not like them. Remember the Pharisee and the tax collector that were praying in the temple? Remember that story in the Bible? and the tax collector is pleading with God, forgive me, I'm such a jerk, I'm such an idiot, I'm using my own words. I'm a nobody, and I'm an awful person, and forgive me for the awful things I've done. And here's the Pharisee over on the other side, thank God I'm not like that man over there. I'm such a wonderful person, and thank you, God, for acknowledging me as being such a wonderful person. That's the essence of the story. And sometimes we come across that way. We're supposed to be like the tax collector, acknowledging our sin, coming to the table with humility and transparency. You see, if you and I come to the table with humility and transparency, then we may more clearly can see not only our own sin, but perhaps we together with another brother or sister in Christ can address the sin of someone else who's about to fall off the cliff. You see, this is addressed to believers. When someone says, do not judge, I encourage you to read the whole text. If we are to be accountable as Christians, he says, first take the speck out of your own, or the plank out of your own eye, and then you will be able to remove the speck from your brother's eye. In other words, we're responsible to deal with our own actions and then hold our brother or sister accountable as well. Folks, what I'm saying this morning is I think we have practiced for too long weak Christianity, and we have practiced this thing that is not true in God's Word, to live and let live. We are supposed to hold each other accountable. We are supposed to be there for each other. We are supposed to be that person that rubs shoulders with each other to help each other to be stronger in our faith as Christians, to challenge each other from time to time, but to do it, if I could use this term, with a sprinkling like you would on your ice cream, with grace and mercy and forgiveness and redemption and reconciliation and all those kinds of things. You see, if that's a part of our language, if that's a part of who we are, if that's a part of the way we want to live our lives, then when others are listening to maybe some advice we could give that might be helpful for them, they're much more willing to hear it because what they're hearing from us is a heart that is humble, a heart that is also broken and contrite, a heart that also says, I need God's help too, and perhaps together we can walk this journey and do it a little better. My question then, as we look at this text, is we can look at it differently than what the world and those who are self-righteous do. When it says, do not judge or you will be judged, what he is saying in this text is, do not be judgmental. Do not approach it the way that you typically do as self-righteous people. Instead, look at your brother, your sister, as someone who is valued by God, and when they're falling, help them. But first, look at yourself and come with a humble and a transparent heart before you address someone else as well. You see, I think there are those who may be dealing with more, could I put it in these terms, more visible sins. You know, the ones that you see, not the ones that you know as the sins of the heart. They can be reconcilers for someone who maybe isn't sinning in that same way. I mean, they can be one who can also help someone else to do a better job of what they're doing in Christ. You see, I think we can offer something both ways. But folks, I don't believe in a weak Christianity that just tells us to live and let live. We are to practice accountability. No, we're not to be judgmental or condemnatory. That is wrong. That is sinful. That is clearly stated in this text. Also, we ought to be careful about who we're talking to. Don't give to dogs what is sacred. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. What he's saying there? Sometimes it's best to keep our mouth shut because the heart that we may be dealing with is a heart that is not ready to hear. Use discernment. Sometimes it is not wise to address a person in the situation that might be going on at the time because they're not ready. Their heart is not there. Elsewhere it says in Scripture, I'll give you a couple, three, and I need to close pretty quick here. Elsewhere we're called to make judgments in chapter 7, verse 15, in the same Sermon on the Mount we're talking about. It says we need to judge false prophets by observing their fruit. If their fruit isn't good fruit, then we need to judge that as believers. John 7:24, do not judge by appearance, but make right judgments. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5, hand that man over to Satan in hopes that that man would be restored. 1 John 4:1. Test the spirits. You see, this isn't weak Christianity here. We are called sometimes to make judgments and be discerning. So I encourage us to look at this text in its whole, not in its one little piece. Too many times people have taken verse 1, do not judge or you will be judged, and say, hands off. I want nothing to do with it. Folks, that's weak Christianity. I don't want you to do that to me. And I hope you don't want me to do that to you. But in its context, there's a right way to go about it and a wrong way to go about it. Self-righteous attitudes are not the right way to go about it. Humility. Transparency. I'm in this with you. Paul says, I'm the worst of sinners. But come with me and let's figure this out together. The truth is, if I love you and you love me, then we ought to address each other in love about our sin. That isn't judging. It's loving. Ignoring isn't Christ-like. But careful attention is, like I said in the title of the message this morning. A blind eye is that do not judge lest you be judged. Perhaps a better way to look at it is careful attention or careful action to a loving brother or sister in Christ, sprinkling it with redemption, reconciliation, mercy, grace, love, forgiveness. People are far more receptive to a transparent heart that's in the same journey. So folks, hold me accountable, and I will do my best to hold you accountable as well. And hold each other accountable. But do it in the way that Jesus prescribes it. Not in the way we oftentimes do it. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for your word. And I pray, Lord, you'd help us to see the whole counsel of God on this particular passage this morning. Because, God, I think sometimes we misuse it. And we ignore the responsibilities we have as believers to help each other out in love. So God, work in our hearts. Help us to be more transparent. If we come across as self-righteous, God, I pray that you would knock us down and help us to realize we are just like Paul. We are sinners in need of a Savior. And when someone comes to us and we have a tendency to judge them in a judgmental kind of way, God, instead, can we show them love and grace and mercy and forgiveness and redemption? And ask them to join in the journey with us. Let's help each other out to be more like Jesus. We give you thanks and praise in his name. Amen.